anytime except Sunday morning. She came for the, she'd come to Bible study. She'd come for the, what we call the morning worship. That's the only time she ever came. Didn't matter what you said to her from the pulpit or privately. And the first person I baptized when I was there was on a Wednesday night. And her, we had a 15-year-old girl that came forward to be baptized. I baptized her. When she went home, her mother noticed that her hair was wet. And she said, "Why is your hair wet?" But she said, "Mother, I was baptized tonight." She said, "Well, why didn't you tell me you're going to be baptized? I would have gone to see it." Anybody catching on to what I'm trying to say here? She'd have been in her place like she ought to have been. She wouldn't have missed it. She wouldn't have missed it. I'll tell you one thing. I'm sure glad I didn't have to miss the occasion when my sons were baptized. I'm sure glad I didn't have to miss that. You just never know. You say, "Well, we're probably going to have this meeting. There won't be anybody come forward." Do you know that for a fact? I don't know that. I preach in hope. I never have quit looking for people to come. I tell preachers sometimes, I have preacher training classes sometimes, when they sing the invitation song, don't leave that spot in the front till the last word dies on the invitation song. I've seen people come even after the song was over. I preach in hope. And I tell you, when you see people obey the gospel of Christ, it brings tears to people's eyes and joy to their hearts. Why in the world would anybody want to miss it? And I'll tell you something else. When the church assembles in 2014 to do scriptural things, and you're absent, you deprive yourself of a certain amount of honor. Do you know the Lord does not attach any honor to carelessness and indifference and unfaithfulness? He doesn't attach any honor to that whatsoever. He calls upon us to be faithful. Faithful. You know, I said a while ago I wasn't going to read Hebrews 10:25, and I'm not today. Sometimes I start there and just camp there a while, but not today. And the reason for it is that passage is a commandment. You say, "What's wrong with that?" Nothing. But that passage deals with something we have an obligation to do. I'm working today on your want to, not your have to. You understand what I'm trying to say here? There's a difference between doing something because you feel like you have to do it and doing it because you really deep down inside want to do it. That's what I've been working on. Lewis, what I've been trying to do here this morning is to grab a hold of a string that runs right up into the hearts of all of you and yank on it a while. That's what I've deliberately been trying to do. I want you to know right up front, no secrets here. The preaching of the truth affects people's hearts and lives. And when we just decide, I'm not talking about people that are sick and people who have sometimes work schedules obligate you to be someplace that you'd rather not be at that time. And you have no choice. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about situations where you have a choice. And you deliberately and intentionally decide, "I am not going today. I'm just not going tonight." And you don't have any good reason except you just don't want to come. I've wondered why it is that on Sunday morning in gospel meetings you have the house full. And on Sunday night, you'll have about a third of them gone, if not half. And during the weeknights of a meeting, if it weren't for visitors coming from other places, it'd be plumb embarrassing, wouldn't it? Why is that? Why is that? Well, I really believe with all my heart that if we just think about what Thomas missed that Sunday night in Jerusalem and make an application of that to us now in 2014, I think it'd help us. And we'd overcome excuses, and we'd learn to get our priorities straightened out, what's most important in life, and I think we'd have a pretty good meeting. What do you think? Amen. Come back tonight at 6 o'clock. We're going to study some more. We're going to sing, and we're going to pray, and we'll try to build each other up. Get your hymn books now, would you please, and turn to the song that's been announced. It's number, what is it? 597. Turn to that, please. And when you find it, give me back your attention for a moment. It may well be that we have some here present today who have not received the remission of sins. The Holy Spirit guided the apostles into preaching on the day of Pentecost, and Peter preached to those who believed his message and said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." There it is. "And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Have you done that? Do you believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God? Have you repented of sin in your life? Have you confessed your faith in him before others? Have you been baptized into Christ to put on Christ? If not, your sins have been retained against you, and they will be until you do that. And we're going to sing this song to encourage you this morning to take care of that. If you've started serving our Lord and you've fallen away and you need to make some corrections before the church here at Talmadge, would you take advantage of this moment? Make your way down to one of these aisles and right down to one of these front seats. And would you do that right now while we stand together and sing? Let's sing.